want to talk about reality? We haven't lived in anything remotely close to it since the turn of the century. We turned it off, took out the batteries, snacked on a bag of GMOs while we tossed the remnants in the ever-expanding dumpster of the human condition. We live in branded houses, trademarked by corporations built on bipolar numbers, jumping up and down on digital displays, hypnotizing us into the biggest slumber mankind has ever seen. You have to dig pretty deep, kiddo, before you can find anything real. We live in a kingdom of bullshit. A kingdom you've lived in for far too long.
Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks, episode 126 for September 4th, 2015. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
You're Mr. Chipper. I'm Brian Schulmeister. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Brian. How are you today?
I'm all right. I'm a little tired.
This is my like 17th podcast this week, so I'm a little pooped myself, but I had some tea. I'm good to go.
All right. I've got some tea as well, since we're not in person and I don't have any beer.
Yes, no beer this week. Well, there will be plenty of beer, but just not for the show and not right now.
That's very true.
Yes, because it is Labor Day weekend here in lovely United States of America, and everybody gets out of work early, and I just don't want to sit in traffic coming back from your place.
No, it was a smart decision. We made it last week that we didn't want to deal with any of the traffic that will be involved with Labor Day weekend. And I don't know about you, Jason, but I don't know. For the past 15 years, I've always had to work over Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, this is the first time I actually had it out with my boss the other day. I'm like, we have 7 calls on Monday that were scheduled. And I'm like, will you be attending? I'm like, no. Because they were all scheduled before I kind of joined the team. And I'm just like, I'm going to be at a barbecue in Malibu, so I'm not going to be taking phone calls. And you need to not do it, too. And he's like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. The irony of working on Labor Day weekend is not lost on me. So I'm actually taking this one off as well. I've told all my clients and people that are expecting things that I will not be back working on it until Tuesday. So
till Tuesday.
So see you next Tuesday, guys.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like, so you have a link here in our follow up. 8 ways stress is messing with your health, which, you know, clickbaity headline. Of course.
Like headline, nothing we haven't heard or known, but certainly topical, because I know you have been under the weather for the past few weeks, me as well. And it's just a good wrap up, once again, going over the things that we already know about killing ourselves with cortisol and adrenaline and listening to you cough all the time.
That's when we were first rolling in the show, I'm like, I honestly feel like I have tuberculosis from all the stress I'm under. And it's like, I have not stopped coughing for probably a month and a half at this point.
Well, I mean, the other thing that you aren't considering, Jason, now that you've become the podcast man, you're using your voice probably a lot more than you used to. So you might want to look into some of the things and tips and tricks that I've picked up from my various rock star friends over the years who sing and all that. You're going to want to probably start doing those when you do the steam things and you hold your head and you just kind of breathe in the steam and all that all the time. That's going to help you out quite a bit, actually.
I'll give that a shot, but this really feels like I've had basically pneumonia for a long time. Like it bubbles when I breathe. Let's just say that. That's bad.
Even better that you aren't here.
Yes. Well, I don't think this is catching. I think this is stress induced, and that's why this article is actually pretty prescient.
Yeah, it's all
prescient.
It's all about the, you know, our bodies are kind of built to withstand occasional jolts of adrenaline and cortisol, but what we're doing with our 24/7 lifestyle and our cell phones and the constant freakouts is basically killing ourselves with it because it's always running and always hitting us. The 8 big problems that are worsened by such stress, heart disease, the common cold, weight gain. I think most programmers understand that one. Certainly doesn't help because we're sitting all the time either. Slower healing, sleep dysfunction, depression, back, neck, and shoulder pain, and ulcers.
I think I have 5, maybe 6 of these. I don't have weight gain. I don't know if I have heart disease because I haven't gone to the doctor in 20 years. But they said I did check out when they cut me open for my leg. They're like, oh, you're fine. It's all good. So maybe I don't have heart disease. But yeah, no weight gain. Everything else on this list? Yep, pretty much.
Well, I mean, I certainly remember when we were kind of going through the initial period of the meltdown of the music industry and my stress levels hit basically fever pitch. I had basically all of that happening. So there's no doubt about that. What you have to do is just learn not to care. And I've gotten much better at that.
I know. You seem, that's the funny thing. You put the thing about the stress in there, and you're the one that we talked about this last week. You're like the happier one now.
I know.
We have had a role reversal.
I'm doing this as a service to you, Jason, and to the listeners.
I know. I'm probably going to be dead. I'm going to be dead in a month, and you're going to be just happy as a clam.
Stop giving a crap and open up that wine.
Oh, well, no problem there. No problem there, my friend.
And you know who should be opening up a bottle of wine right about now?
Who?
Hillary Clinton. I thought we'd just follow up on this because I know you think the whole email thing is a super big deal. I agree. It was a big mistake. Bill Maher is on a tear about who gives a fuck about this. It's still out there. We don't know what's happening. A whole new batch of emails were released on Monday, roughly 150. The tone of it seems to be that when she got these emails through her personal email account on the email server that she had in her house, which nobody does anymore, so that's so fucking bizarre, it's beyond belief, that these were not confidential at the time or have since been classified. Who the fuck knows what's going on?
Yes, they've been post-classified. They, like, when she sent them, it wasn't a big deal then, but now it's a big deal, so now they're classified. And so when she did it, it wasn't a big deal. Right. Here's the problem. She had a fucking email server at her house. I don't care. And Bill Maher is just such a stooge for the Democrats, and I don't even care what he says about this. Not my problem. The problem is she ran an email server out of her house for government business. It's the single issue. So bad idea.
Yeah. So, and I agree completely. And I don't see this as a partisan issue because basically the Republicans have done this in the past as well, particularly Bush and Cheney. We got to get these IT. Not only do we have to get money out of politics, Jason, we got to get these IT people out of politics.
I think we need to get IT into politics because there's such terrible IT right now that it's just all over the place.
So. Yeah, I agree. So that's where that's at. And big news, Jason, do you know what today is?
It's Friday, September 4th.
No, it's not. It's hashtag Force Friday, the gigantic juggernaut of Disney marketing blitz.
Wait, what?
It's hashtag Force Friday.
I don't know what that is.
Well, you are obviously not a geek anymore. Actually, I didn't either, and I'm super excited about the Star Wars movie, obviously, and so excited that I bought Disney stock, which I've been enjoying. Yet I had no idea this was going on because I am too old and not a Comic-Con type person who's interested in collecting toys anymore. And luckily I do not have a child yet who would be forcing me to go to Walmart at 6 a.m. this morning or whatever. The Star Wars collection for the new movie has been released today. And Disney, as only Disney can, has turned this into a massive marketing event where things are going on everywhere, including there are Ubers in New York City streets that are dollied up to look like stormtrooper cars.
This
is the biggest
oh no
I think I've ever seen for anything, and it's I particularly enjoyed the quote from the press release from starwars.com, which is this Friday there will indeed be an awakening ... for Star Wars collectors everywhere.
It's funny you say you're not a Comic-Con type of guy, and I'm like, I go to Comic-Con for the boobs. That's the really the only reason to go to Comic-Con, because there are boobs everywhere.
Well, why
I don't go for the toys.
Why don't you cut out the middleman, skip Comic-Con, and just go to the porn one in Vegas? A lot more boobs.
Actually, no, there's not. I've been to both. And Comic-Con is definitely more boob-friendly than any of the conventions in Vegas. But, yeah, I've given up on, you know, all that stuff. I'm post-nerd, I guess. It's sad. When you put this up here, I'm like, I honestly don't give a Sith.
Oh, dude.
No. That was
how long have you been holding that one in your pocket?
About 6 seconds.
That's pretty good, then, Jason. Good job.
Oh, thanks. It was terrible, but yes, I just don't care. I have no desire to buy anything anymore. I'm not a kid. I don't have kids. I don't want kids, and I don't want more toys. So
yeah. Well, you've replaced your toys with audio gear. You've become that kind of geek now. that's acceptable.
Audio gear and guns. That's how I roll.
Oh, Jesus. Anyways, everybody enjoy your hashtag Force Your Wallet Open Friday.
Yes, force your... That's a good one. See, how long were you sitting on that?
That one I just came up with, too.
All right. It was just about as good. Today. Oh, my God. Let's get to it.
In the news...
That whole Ashley Madison thing just kind of seemed to come and go. joke.
Poof, gone.
Yeah, so...
I mean, it was here, and now it's nothing.
This was supposed to tear down the fabric of society. McAfee was freaking out about this. CEOs were going to be taken down. Politicians removed from office. John and Jane Doe, marriages torn apart across the world. What the
cats
fuck?
Cats and dogs living together.
And nothing?
Nothing.
It's basically almost out of the media now, and the only thing that still is popping up in the media is, hey, there were no chicks on there, and how come nobody figured out they were just talking to bots?
I know, that's the funny part. It's like, once they figured out that, like, nobody was actually getting laid, then it just kind of went away.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get it. It's like, okay, well, what we want to talk about here is intent, my friend. Yes, you were trying to sleep with somebody, even though that there was nobody there. That doesn't mean you weren't doing a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of marriages are screwed up from this, but yeah, it's over. It's done. Somebody's going to lose a lot of money. That's it.
Basically, came down to Josh Duggar taking the martyrdom for everybody. He's the only real, you know, kind of semi-famous person that's been outed about this. And
I don't even know who that is.
Good. I mean, you don't want to know. So.
Okay, good. I, you know what? I'm going to take that as a sign that I should not Google him.
Yeah, don't bother. You'll actually end up just being happy that he got caught. So,
by the way, did you notice Google's new logo?
I did. I hate it. And I agree with the article in the New Yorker about why you hate Google's new logo completely. The old logo had that sense of history to it. It was very literary. The new logo is fucking Sesame Street.
It's extremely Sesame Street. That's what I was thinking. That's the word I was looking for. That's it. Because I'm looking at it, I'm like, this reminds me of something. I don't know what it is, and I don't like it. And I know just people hate change. I mean, anytime you change anything, people hate it. But this one was just so, like, visceral. I'm like, this is just, it makes me feel wrong.
Yeah, it's about, you know, sunny days, everything's A-okay, searching for naked teens on Google all day. Yeah.
Well, now we know what you do for when you're sitting home alone, but okay. Well, yeah. That was a little TMI. Thanks.
You know, it's a show, Jason.
No, yeah, it's just, it's so weird. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, you know, what do you expect? They named themselves ABC or Alphabet or whatever the hell they are. It's horrible. Their whole new branding and repositioning is really, really bad. Don't like it.
Yeah, it's so strange. I just don't get it.
And I can't wait to be able to see that logo through my Magic Leap contact lenses.
Now, this is something I can get behind. I've been waiting for this. I mean, they had that commercial that they did, which was totally fake, you know, and just all rendered. But if they can come anywhere even close to that, that'd be amazing. And they did, what was it, 97 new patents?
Nearly 100, I think. Yeah, 97 or so, exactly. This is if you don't know who Magic Leap is, it's kind of a pretty secretive Florida-based company, which never gives one hope. Not much comes out of Florida, really. But Google put a shit ton of money into them, and this is going to be basically, their tech is going to blow the hell off Google Glasses, and this is stuff that I'm actually excited for. If they can get this working, and if they can get it working before I'm, say, 90 years old.
Yeah, but Neil Stephenson works there. So that's why I'm saying, like, they have to have something that they're not showing us to get him to go there.
Okay, but again, Neil Stephenson, I love Neil Stephenson. He's a brilliant writer and a great thinker. But Neil Stephenson going to work for a tech company gives me as much hope as Trent Reznor going to work for Apple. How well's that working?
I'm sorry, but Neil Stevenson at least wrote Snow Crash.
That is, yes.
But he's the chief futurist, so he's not really like Trezner was there for what? UX. Come on. At least Neil Stevenson's there to think and make up crazy shit to do.
I so want that job. I want to be a chief futurist. What was the title that they used in that TV show, Silicon Valley? That was very similar to chief futurist.
Oh, I can't even remember because it was probably a real title that somebody actually had.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I've met chief happiness officers before, and I look at them, and I just kind of shake my head and say, "Your mom must be very proud of you."
We're doing nothing. Uber got slapped this week.
Oh, there's a surprise.
Well, you know, it comes and goes. But U.S. District Court Judge Edward Chen has granted Uber drivers class action status. So there's going to be a very large lawsuit against Uber because basically they are not independent contractors. they are employees, but Uber claims they are not. And now the judge has said, sue away.
Yeah, this will be fun. This will be fun. And I found one, it's Uber 2.0, human self-driving cars. So, which kind of goes into what was going on. So this is an interesting read because, you know, what's his name? Travis Kalanick basically is just, he can't wait to get rid of people. He's like, I just hate you. I don't want you in my car. I don't want to have to pay you. I don't want to deal with your class action lawsuit bullshit. I just want you gone. And I want to have a self-driving car.
Yes.
And what made me like really excited about like just his douchebaggery in this article, I recommend everybody go read it. Mm-hmm. If you think that we're all hyperbole about Uber, read this, come back and talk to us.
Wow, this article must be so bad that Jason has just fully cast his lot with me on Uber, because normally he doesn't.
No, this one was bad. This is really bad.
I mean, it basically says we are just counting the days until we can fire everyone and just keep all the monies ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And what I was just having a little thought experiment by myself, which I often do, and that's not a euphemism. So yeah, the thought experiment I was having was, okay, well, Uber can go buy a bunch of self-driving cars, but here's the deal. Somebody that has more money can just go buy more self-driving cars and put them out of business. And that would probably be Google. And then I thought, oh, crap. Google is an investor in Uber.
Yeah.
So that means we're stuck with Uber.
Yeah. Uber's not going anywhere. And yeah, this is Uber's plan all along was get rid of everybody. It was never to keep these people. It was never to be good to people. It was never going to be a wonderful place and a wonderful company that is enriching the lives of millions. It's not. That's not what they're about. They're about firing all of you people and just making the monies. And
they want all the monies.
But that's 99% of Web 2.0 companies. That's what they're aiming for. And this is what we've been screaming and yelling about on this podcast since day one. It's we're moving way too fast. We're getting rid of anybody's ability to make a fucking living, and we're automating everything.
I had a really good conversation. Well, actually, I was listening to a really good conversation this week with Gary Vaynerchuk. Mm-hmm. You know him. He's Mr. Web 2.0, Mr. Social Media.
Yeah.
And he made a really valid point that's like, okay, yes, we do have a problem with the consolidation of wealth in this country. We do have a problem with the middle class going away. Mm-hmm. But his valid point was, go anywhere else in the world, and we still have it 1,000 times better. And we still have the opportunities that nobody else has.
Oh, no, 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 no. May I direct you to the first 5 minutes of that show that was on HBO Newsroom. Just watch. It's on YouTube. Go watch the first 5 minutes. Go listen to his speech. We do not have it the best. We are 20th, 30th, 50th in lists of many metrics of human happiness and prosperity. We are
I'm talking about opportunity. I'm talking about opportunity. We still have a lot of opportunity.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. No, we don't. Then why are most people driving Uber cars now? Because that's all that's fucking left for them.
That's an opportunity.
Why are people working 4 or 5 jobs? Why are people struggling to get by? Why are people with educations living in their parents' houses? No, that's a load of shit. Get me on the phone with that guy.
I would love to have you and Gary go head to head.
It's a complete and utter fucking lie. And that is the lie that is sold by Web 2.0 companies. And we know that. And we talk about that every fucking week on this show, Jason. Don't get him into that crap.
Oh my God. Somebody spiked my Kool-Aid. That must be what it is.
That is provable complete crap. That is not what's happening. And there are not a million countries, obviously, that's hurtfully, but there are many countries that are doing way better than us and have way more opportunity than we are. How can we be driving the middle class into the ground yet be creating more opportunities? That's not possible. It's not possible. Anyways, what a load of shit.
This is why I need more sleep.
I had some story about how the cars aren't coming for a while because everything confuses them, but fuck it, now I'm pissed.
Oh, no, no, no. Let's talk about the confused cars. Come on. No. You can be pissed. You can be pissed.
This is just why we're not going to have automated cars anytime in the near future, because there are way too many problems with them. They can't do what people can do. They get confused by riders on fixed gear bikes. They'll stop because they're trying to be very safe. And, you know, if you're standing there in a track stand and you just move ever so slightly forward, then it'll stop again. And then you stop and the bike's holding in position for 2 or 3 seconds and the car will start to move. But if you move forward a little bit more, boom, car stops. They're not ready for prime time.
I told you the easiest hack is to get a stop sign, drive on the freeway in front of one and hold a stop sign out the window and the whole thing will just grind to a halt.
Yeah. So we don't have to worry about this problem for quite some time. And I'm sure Uber is very pissed off about that.
I'm sure they are too.
Security? Ha!
Friend of the show, Sean Bonner, does a basically when he feels like it mailing list, and he sent one out recently, and there was a bit in there that I found, and I actually really like because I've been aware of this for a while, and I love it. So in case you didn't know, I want to read this verbatim. We have the whole chunk in our show notes at GrumpyOldGeeks/126. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Wow, I knew what we were on.
Well, it would be grumpyoldgeeks.com/126.
Oh, yes. There you go. So, yeah, he's got a couple links in there. If you find my read interesting, please go check this out because it's all pretty cool. So here we go. From Sean Bonner. You know how the TSA since 9/11 has required all checked luggage to be locked using, air quotes, TSA-approved locks so they can open them to check them if needed, and how they promised these secret keys were secure with them, and how security researchers the world over have been saying there is no such thing as a secure back door. Well, here's high-res photos of the keys, link to the keys, which means anyone can copy any of them, and all luggage made since 9/11 is essentially lockless. You feel safer. But be careful looking at those, because you might be guilty of a pre-crime. They link talking about that, which you might be. You could be a criminal and not even know it. Luckily, the government will figure that out for you. You can use this form, also a link, to see if they think you're already a terrorist. Now, this was interesting to me because I essentially have this fight with my wife every single time we travel. I have basically given up on putting any locks on my luggage. I just basically throw it. I don't use a lock. I never use one. I don't bother. What's the freaking point? And she always does. And it ends up always being a little mini scuffle whenever we're packing. So I need to print this out for her.
Okay. I use a lock on my luggage just so it doesn't accidentally come open.
that's
honestly the only reason I use a lock, because we've posted probably in episode 20 a video of how you can open and close any luggage with a ballpoint pen.
Yeah.
So the locks mean nothing anyway. All you do is you stick a pen into the zipper and slide it back and forth. You can open the luggage, do whatever you want to with it, and then just run the zipper back across and it closes like nothing ever happened. So
there you go.
I think this is funny that the keys are out there now, but you don't need the keys if you have a Bic pen.
Yeah. So there's that too. A friend of the show, Fergal, sent a link to me that actually, now that I'm looking at the page off of Norton's site, is also written by a friend of the show, Solange. Over 225,000 Apple ID credentials have been stolen from jailbroken iOS devices. So technically, if you jailbreak your device, you're a criminal. So criminals have hacked criminals.
No, you can jailbreak your device. Remember.
It's legal again now.
Huh?
Is it legal now?
It's completely legal because you can jailbreak your phone because... I can't remember who it was. There was a lawsuit against the carriers about that. And I swear to God, I wanted to say it was the Library of Congress that came up with this.
I think you're right. I vaguely remember talking about that. It's just, I've never considered jailbreaking my device. So
hang on, I'm going to pause for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much, the Librarian of Congress is the one that was part of it, and the Copyright Office. Basically, this was back in 2010. So you can legally jailbreak your phone. It's just not smart.
Yeah, no, it's not smart. But I like the fact that you can do that. And you'd think I'd remember one of the two bright lights in our security segments.
I know. You figure after all this time.
Yeah. U.S. Open's on right now. Are you a tennis fan, Jason?
Oh, I thought that was golf. No, I'm not a tennis fan. I used to play, but no.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan either, but apparently during the Panetta Niculescu match at the U.S. Open, a drone crashed into the stands.
Oops.
That's basically shutting down the game for a while, and they did a little bit of research, and it was, of course, probably just some idiot.
Have they caught him yet?
Does not say in the news report that I'm reading, so.
Okay, well. Yeah. That's what happens when your drone runs out of batteries.
The NYPD is investigating.
They need one of those Tesla batteries in their drones now.
Oh, yeah. That Tesla should get into that.
Give it time.
Give it time.
So when we were going through something earlier, I saw a I saw an article on Slate that I just had to put in because it breaks all of our standard rules. Should drones have license plates so officials can police them like cars? I don't even have to read this because the answer is going to be no, because it is a question. And also, you can just take the license plate off.
Well, see, I think they should. I think this is a yes. I think drones should have identifying numbers on them. And if you run across a drone that does not have it, because much like we do with cars, then the police drones can shoot it out of the sky.
Well, here's the thing. Every drone has a license plate. It's called a serial number. So when these things land, just get the serial number and say, oh, who bought this? But that means that drone companies are going to have to start, you know, keeping a database of people who own these things and hand it over to the law enforcement.
But you're making an argument that, okay, let's move your argument that you just made to cars again. All cars have a serial number too, but it's not an identifiable number that connects it to an individual that is an operator. It just connects it back to GM or whoever. So again, the license plate connects it to the operator. The serial number just connects it to the manufacturer. I think drones should have license plates, much like cars do. That makes total sense to me. I think that's a no-brainer.
Oh, I can shoot your drone idea here down out of the air, because just because you have a license plate on it doesn't mean you are the operator that is tied to that. If I steal a car,
same thing. It's just another level of connection. Then yes,
okay. Another level of bureaucracy that is so easy to game, and these things are so cheap that nobody's going to follow that. Anybody that's doing evil and villainy with one of these, it's not like they're going to follow the rules.
Oh, God, you've got the gun nut argument. Okay, moving on. I can't.
You're doing the
gun nut argument, so I can't argue.
It's not a gun nut argument. It's an exact
argument that the gun nuts use. It's we can't take away the guns because then only criminals will have them. That's the dumbest argument in the world. Moving on.
Okay, well. It's a correct argument.
You and I will have to agree to disagree on this one. I think this is a good idea.
Stop. You're breaking up. You totally just broke up.
I don't know why. That's weird.
Yeah. Say that again.
Okay. We're just going to move on from this one. We're going to agree to disagree. I think this is a good idea. You think it's a bad one. And if we take it any further, then we get into politics and we're going to avoid that.
Yeah. I just think it's a way for the government to take more money out of your pocket.
We're not moving on, Jason. Continuing the argument.
No, I was just getting the last word. FBI and DEA and others now have to get a warrant to use stingrays. Finally.
Why bother? Just let them do whatever they want, right, Jason?
Fuck off. They have to get warrants now.
Need to have operating licenses for these things. Why bother? Why have warrants? Who cares? Let them do whatever.
Well, this is the government.
Well, criminal governments.
See, this is where we go down the rabbit hole on security. This is why it's always fun. Department of Homeland Security is exempt from this currently, though, of course, because they're the Department of Homeland Security. But other agencies do have to get basically warrants now, and they have to delete the data from phones that are not targeted as part of the warrant.
Yeah, well, this is a very good thing, except as you and I both know, Jason, that deletion part never happens.
Therein lies the rub. It'll be in a backup somewhere. We'll get to it eventually or not.
Yeah, we'll have somebody just take the drive and put it over in a box somewhere, and we'll consider that deleted.
And we'll keep it right next to the Ark of the Covenant back in the warehouse.
Comment of the week.
All right, we got a couple comments this week. The first is from Brad from our Patreon page at patreon.com/GOG. Guys, the Ashley Madison debacle got me thinking about the other sources of life-screwing, career-limiting embarrassment. High on the told-you-so list, Evernote. Imagine the fallout of 150 million Evernote users, or even some percentage of them, having their notes laid bare for all to see. Corp security policies be damned. People save sensitive company and customer data to Evernote all the time. Internal meeting notes, documents, presentations, HR stuff, even recorded audio. It's just too awesome and convenient for salespeople, engineers, or anyone bouncing between multiple devices to ignore. Add to the above all these sensitive personal notes and to-do lists people keep with huge potential for embarrassment. Let your imagination run wild. I'll bet somebody's written it down. People have been pouring their lives into Evernote without a second thought. And unless something's changed, Evernote doesn't encrypt your stored data on their. You can choose to encrypt selected text within a note, but how many know that feature exists, much less bother to use it? People make a big deal about iCloud, Google, FB, etc., but Evernote seems like the sleepy, fiery demon of security breach nightmares. Anyway, something for grumpy Evernote users to consider. I mean, I just classify Evernote as anything that any cloud saving device that you're using to store sensitive and personal information, which you should never, ever do. Corporate policies probably strictly restrict you doing this sort of stuff with sensitive information, and it's kind of a user be damned.
Yeah, well, this actually got me thinking a bit because, you know, we already know that Dropbox has had problems with security. There's one right there. Evernote, definitely a big target, huge target. And I'm just looking at my taskbar now. I'm just thinking, I'm like, okay, what else can people just kind of go into? Well, we already know about Slack. Slack already got hacked.
Yep. And if anybody really wanted to know what our show was going to be about before, they could certainly hack into our Hackpads.
Yep, we got Hackpad, which is owned by Dropbox.
Yeah.
Which they keep threatening to open source, but I haven't seen it yet.
Nope. God. I haven't seen nothing. Interesting.
But yeah. Basically, if it's in the cloud, it's at risk. Because the cloud, as we all know, it just means somebody else's computer, you know? But yeah, I thought this was good because I never even thought about Evernote because I don't put anything sensitive into Evernote because I have a brain, but
yeah, well, I mean that's the real issue, right? That's the real security issue. That's why so many that's why we had the fappening last year or 2 years ago or however long it was again.
Oh, the fappening. This is the best scandal name ever.
Scandal that Jason has enjoyed beyond all others. It's people don't think, and this is, it's part of a wider issue. It's part of the problem that I think Jason and I have both experienced in tech since the iPhone came out, and everybody thinks that they could do everything by themselves. Now they think they're experts and they think everything's safe and secure. It's fucking not. We all know that. And just because you can use your iPhone doesn't mean you understand tech. That's where we're at. And we've got a bunch of people running around thinking that they're safe and secure, as we saw with Ashley Madison. And it'll be the same thing with Evernote if Evernote ever gets hacked. So if you're dumb enough to be putting sensitive information and you're breaking your corporate laws by doing so.
Oh, it's not even that, dude. We had corporate accounts at some of the agencies I worked at. And they're like, just put it in Evernote and we'll do a shared doc and everything's fine. They didn't even think about it. They expected Evernote to be, you know, handling the security.
Yeah, and they're not. And I'm sure that there must be companies and software systems out there that are secure that enable for easy sharing like that, but they probably cost money. And who wants to do that?
Oh, God, yes. Who wants to pay for anything?
Wants to pay when this is practically free and convenient.
Okay, I got one for you. This comes from Shane Simmons. This is feedback sent to the website. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, it's about Amanda fucking Palmer. On the other, Neil Gaiman is poking fun at Betteridge's Law of Headlines, which we always talk about and we actually mentioned already on the show today. So Neil Gaiman wrote a post, says, have I actually been eaten by a bear?
Well, obviously the answer would now be no.
No.
Yeah, okay, we got that. So I'm trying to figure out why I was forced to go read something about Amanda Palmer again, which I don't really enjoy. I know you are a massive Neil Gaiman fan. I have enjoyed many of his books, not all of them. So because I feel compelled to read an article that any listener sends in, I read this and it annoyed me because basically just talks about Amanda Palmer. And, you know, we have a baby coming. And here's a bunch of other shit that I have out this month. So buy it.
Yeah.
That was the entire fucking blog. It's nothing personal. It's like, I'm going to have a baby. Buy my shit. Okay, thanks, Neil.
Yeah, the great part is I'm going to go buy his shit because I love Neil Gaiman.
I know you are. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm just excited because the last issue of the Sandman Overture will be out soon. So very soon. But yeah, I'm a mark for Neil Gaiman. I'm a mark for Neil Gaiman way more than I am a mark for Apple. That should tell you something.
That's true. And I actually kind of respect that about you, but it is kind of a, I don't know. It does feel a little crass to me that he talks about him and his wife having a baby and then proceeds to basically go straight into, and here's my stuff to buy.
Dude, man, somebody's got to make a living.
Please visit iTunes at grumpyoldgeeks.com/iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and leave us a nice comment. Please do tell a friend. Please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/GOG, and donate us some ducats so we can buy Neil Gaiman stuff and support his offspring. And yeah, you can leave us a comment at grumpyoldgeeks.com too, or at our Twitter, grumpy old, or twitter.com/GOG podcast. It's hard to remember all this shit.
At the library.
I finished Expatriates, the second book in the X series, I guess, by Peter Klein. And much to my amazement, Jason gave me a really good recommendation. This book was fantastic as well. And I like this one even better than the first because it gets a bit grittier. And this is what I like in my sci-fi, basically. I like my shades of gray, not 50 of them, but I do like shades of gray. The heroes aren't necessarily heroes. The bad guys aren't necessarily bad guys. It's not quite so clear cut. The good guys don't always win. This is good stuff. I'm really enjoying this series. I am going to have to take a break for a while because I had hoped to have already finished Christopher Moore's Secondhand Souls, the new book, which I have not. And Jason and I are desperate to get to the discussion about Over Success by Jim Rubens, and neither of us have finished that yet. So that is first on deck. Over Success first, and then I will somehow hold off on Christopher Moore for a little bit longer.
Wow, that's saying something.
I know. Well,
because it is Chris Moore. I mean, it's like, man, come on.
I know, but the over-success discussion, especially given what we've already talked about on this show and what we'll probably be talking about next week, that needs to happen and we have to get through that book. So,
yeah, I think we're definitely going to be talking about it next week because the reason I haven't been able to read Over-Success is because I've been working so much.
Yeah.
And goes in with everything at the beginning. And I think I am going to take your advice and I think I am going to go to the doctor.
What?
Yes, I am going to, you know, much to my surprise, I feel like... Brian might be right on this one.
Drop a marker there. I want to keep that sound clip. I'm going to play it every show.
Fuck off. I'm going to play that one every show. So yeah, I'm really excited for the Christopher Moore book. I got a Dirty Job. Again, I downloaded it from Audible. I will listen to it. I won't read
yes.
it.
Yes.
Just because people get butt hurt. I say I read it and I listened to it. I'm going to go back through it because I want to, it's been so many years since I've read that book or I'm sorry, listened to that book. And I want to listen to Secondhand Souls again too.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I've gotten the first two chapters done with Secondhand Souls and enough of a Dirty Job came back to me that I don't feel the need to go back and do it. But it's already been very funny and it's extremely difficult to keep my hands off of it. But I will for the show. I'm doing it for you people.
For you people. Yeah, going back to Dirty Job, I completely forgot the entire, there's a lot of it that I missed. And right. And listening to it again, I'm like, oh man, that was a lot in here. So, and I've also got Old Man's War by John Scalzi that's on deck as well. So that was from, what was his name? Untitled with Adam Savage. They were talking about the sci-fi stuff that they were really enjoying. So I grabbed that one because that sounded like it'd be pretty good. So we got a lot to do.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, I'll just throw this in here instead of media candy. They did go back on Untitled and do the final Seven Eves spoiler cast for the third part of the book. And it actually was a little disappointing. I don't know if it was the dynamic because the third guy was back. So it wasn't just two people talking about it kind of more in depth. They had to bring a third person's opinion into it or the fact that maybe that third guy missed the first discussion. So it just wasn't as good. It didn't fill me with the overwhelming desire to go back and read Seven Eves immediately again, like the first spoiler cast did.
Well, I also think that, you know, that last part of the book is like the least strong section of the book. And that's the part where I'm like, I was really happy just up until they cut it and flipped to the next chapter. And he could have just ended the book there. But so that's why I think it didn't resonate for me as well. It didn't make me want to go back and read it either. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and your opinion is one of the guys' opinion as well. I can't remember who it was, but I definitely agreed with Adam Savage. I liked the third part a lot. I think the story needed it because it was so just bleak. And then you got that bit of a, you know, that little bump at the end. And I actually really enjoyed the whole adventure aspect of it. And much like Adam Savage, I would love, love, love to have some continuation of it and more stories written in that world. But we'll see.
Yeah, because Neal Stephenson's busy over at Magic Leap being a futurist.
Yeah, great. I read some more books, man.
Software, apps, and gadgets.
A long time ago, we talked about phantom vibration syndrome. You know, when your leg vibrates and your phone's actually not in your pocket.
Or you're just not getting a call and you feel it anyways. Yeah,
exactly.
I have that occasionally.
So you're going to love this one. Just cue up your jokes because I now have phantom wrist syndrome.
You and every 14-year-old boy.
Hey, 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 hey. No, I feel haptic responses from my Apple Watch when it's actually not on my wrist.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Haptic responses?
They're haptic. Yes, that's what the kids call them. Mm-hmm. But I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh, I got a message. Oh, wait, no, I'm not wearing my watch because it's charging.
Oh, boy.
Very strange. It's a very strange world we live in.
You're telling me.
So I bought a new mouse this week.
Okay.
I bought the Logitech MX Master Wireless Mouse.
You can't just wave your watch around?
No. I have to wait for the Magic Leap and all that other stuff to come out.
Okay. Gotcha.
but I got this thing because of the show that we were talking about, Cortex, mm-hmm. with CGP Grey, and how he was talking about how it's great for audio editing and different stuff, and Mike Hurley. They were talking about how great it's for audio editing because it has a scroll wheel on mm-hmm. the side to be able to scrub audio.
Yeah, I like that. That's super cool. I wish they would have had that back in the day when I was like using Pro Tools all the time. What I don't like is I don't like how it looks. It looks like a 1980s stealth fighter or something, especially with the color scheme. Ugh, that is an ugly ass mouse. But
it is very Darth Vader.
Yeah. Kind of more Battlestar Galactica, like 1970s version.
No, and in person, it's very Darth Vader. I'm looking at it right now. Here's the interesting thing is there's a thumb button at the bottom too. So you can press down on where your thumb is, and there's an extra button under there. There's buttons all over this damn thing. There are literally a lot of buttons on this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've got not this that model, obviously. I've got an older Logitech, but it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 buttons in the scroll wheel.
This has 8.
Yeah.
If you count all of the scroll wheel buttons and the back and forward and the thumb button, it's got 8 buttons on it.
But mine's to 11.
Oh, yeah. And you can change all the different settings. It's got a bunch of different stuff. Here's the problem with it. Mm. And here's the problem that is really causing me problems. Apple's Magic Mouse?
Yeah.
You can still scroll side to side by just using a gesture.
Yeah.
And that alone really kind of defeats the purpose for the other scroll wheel. And you can't change the direction of the scroll. So I'm finding I'm like having to relearn how to use a mouse with it. And I don't like that part. It is unbelievably comfortable to use because it's a little higher up. So it's a little bit better on my wrist.
Yeah.
And it's Logitech. So the build quality is, oh, I'm sorry. It's not Logitech anymore. Isn't it Logi?
They don't seem to have changed their name yet. Have they?
They haven't. So my Logi MX Master, it works on glass, which is amazing. I don't need a mouse pad with it.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
The other problem, though, is it disconnects all the time. It completely disconnects. And I'm trying to use my mouse. And my mouse doesn't work. And this is something that's come up with a couple of my other friends who also have Apple mice. And I don't know if it was an update with the latest OS on Apple. A lot of people I know, their mice just disconnect. Like Bluetooth is screwed up right now. I don't know what it is. And here's the other fun problem. And then the reason I got this Logitech mouse was my Apple mouse stopped doing vertical. Like I'll be working on something and I can't move it up or down. It'll only go side to side.
That's not helpful.
No, it's not. And here's the crazy part. I have two Apple Magic mice, and it does it the same on both of them. So it's not the mouse itself. The mouse isn't broken. There's something inside the OS that's broken. So I don't know what this is, but it's a major problem. And it's, you know, my friend Jordan, he just said, screw it, and just got a wired mouse and is using an actual old school wired mouse right now because the problem is so bad. So if you're having that problem, drop us a note at grumpyoldgeeks.com and let me know, because I'm curious to find out if anybody else is having this weird ass issue.
Yeah, that's going to be strange.
So I'm going to keep the Logitech. I'm going to try and get used to it. Mm-hmm. But for now, it's like when I have to do, I'm editing like 20 hours of audio a week, and like changing a workflow in the middle of that is really hard. So I'm going to work my way into it. The fun part is they both work at the same time. So I literally have two mice on my desk and I can go back and forth between them. Really, really bizarre.
Okay.
So do you remember Net Newswire?
I remember you telling me about it.
Oh, because you were never a big RSS guy, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, NetNewsWire was one of the premier RSS readers back in the day, and they're back. They've come back from a new company called Black Pixel, who I don't know. But it's I'm stuck with Reader, but I just thought it was funny that NetNewsWire just came back from the dead. I prefer the Reader app because it works on both my Mac and my iPhone and my iPad, and it syncs everything.
Yeah, that would be a requirement for me for an app like this, because especially for what you and I are doing with it, I need to be able to have access to it from anything. I can't just be sitting in front of my computer.
Yeah, most weeks what I'll do is I'll sit in bed and I'll have an hour when I wake up in the morning to just go through the news and kind of clear everything out and put them in the notes for our show for the week. Mm. And being able to do it on the iPad, and then when I get back to my Mac to have everything synced up so I don't have to look at the same articles again, is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it'll cost you a few bucks. It's not a free app, but it works really well.
Cool.
I'm going to skip the NetNewsWire though, because I've paid for so many versions of NetNewsWire that they should give it to me for free, damn it.
They probably should.
Now, you opened the show with Star Wars Day, whatever, may the 4th be with you and all that crap. Now, Mashable has a write-up on the new BB-8 droid toy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I want one.
Again, they were pimping it on the Today Show this morning. They had the toy out and they were rolling it around. This looks cool as hell. The size is somewhat deceptive. It's a lot smaller than you think it's going to be. But you know what? I looked at this. I can look at my Facebook feed right now, and it is covered with the demo videos of this thing. And I just hear ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. I got Disney stock at the goddamn right time.
Yeah, you should. Next time you do that, give me a fucking heads up, man.
I told everyone I've said it on the show, I'm getting Disney stock. How could you not? The only possibility of me losing money is if the movie sucked, and this toy is cool enough to tell me that won't even matter. They're going to sell millions of these things.
And they're $150.
It will be the toy for Christmas for kids.
Yeah. I just need to go find a kid and play with theirs then.
You don't need to get a kid. This comes with an app and everything. Control the damn thing with an app. This is unbelievable. This is one of the. This is when I start to get really pissed off about being old. I'm like, kids these days. I used a fucking stick and pretended it was a lifesaver. You guys get fucking functioning robots.
And you actually get lightsabers now. We use sticks. Sticks back in the day, and we'd spray paint them blue and red.
My God, the amount of money these people are going to rake in.
Oh man, maybe it's not too late. Maybe I can go get some Disney now. Although after today, it's probably going to drop again.
Well, you probably can't get Disney because you are actually taking another one of my recommendations. Add that to the list of things I was completely right about. You are dropping some serious coin to pick up a Henry Miller Mira 2 chair, which is what I'm sitting in right now.
Yeah. After coming to your house and doing the show with you, you made a very good point about that chair. Besides the fact that you were like, this is the most comfortable chair I've ever owned. It's completely silent.
It is silent. I'm whizzing around right now on my hardwood floors and you cannot hear a goddamn thing.
I am in a $70 Staples special, you know, one of those black like faux leather chairs that they sell that I've had for about, 9 years that it creaks, it squeaks, it's terrible. And this is actually an investment for me because I'm going to have it for 10 years, but I also spend about 3 hours a week probably editing out squeaks from my damn chair. So I'm looking at this as saving money, not spending money.
Yeah, not only is it silent, it's just this is the most comfortable chair I've ever owned in my life. And if you do what we do and you're sitting a lot, you need to treat your butt right and spend the coin. And it's not a cheap chair.
Oh, God, no, it's not cheap. But it's
not the most expensive chair out there, but it's not cheap. But it is, again, it's like I had the Aeron. I had that thing for at least 12 years. It's an investment. This chair is going to last me 10 to 15 years, and it is stunningly comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I've had Herman Miller chairs before. I never had an Aeron. But I had some really nice chairs that I got. Shenny from Boing Boing sold me one of hers that was like $1,200. And it was like one of those contoured ones where you sit down and it's like contoured for your butt cheeks.
Yeah.
it's just like, I sat down and I'm like, oh, this is silly. And if you sit down in it wrong and then you just land on your nuts and it's like, oh, that sucked. But I had that chair for about 7 years and it was the most comfortable chair I've ever owned. So Herman Miller makes good stuff.
Yes. Yes, they do.
So next week we'll have a full review
of your new chair and how your butt feels.
How my butt feels. That will be the title of the next episode. How's Jason's butt?
Here's what I want to have happen next week. I want Jason to be sitting in his new chair that I recommended and is totally awesome, using the headphones that I recommended that are totally awesome, and be feeling better because I told him he better get his ass to the doctor because I'm totally awesome.
You're letting this get to your head, man. I like the first 150 episodes where you were wrong every week. This you being right is just not working for me.
Go back and check the tape.
Media Candy.
I know you're going to be shocked by this, Jason, but I actually took your advice again, and I listened. I'm starting to do what you do with books. I watched Mr. Robot, and not only did I watch one episode, which I normally never do with the shows that you tell me to go watch, I saw them all, including the finale that was delayed. So I am up to speed on Mr. Robot. I have seen the entire first season, and I am ready to discuss this.
Okay, this is going to be a spoiler alert here, because we're going to talk about it. And since all 10 episodes are out, you can go back and watch them, but skip ahead a few minutes if you don't want any spoilers. And we did open the show with a sound clip from the finale, which I loved that clip, but...
Well, do you want me to start my review with my thoughts on that clip?
I do believe you should begin.
It sounds like a toss-off from the cutting room floor from Fight Club.
Absolutely.
This show was obviously engineered, geared, bolted together to appeal to you and I so specifically. And anytime I run across something like that, it gets my hackles up and I get a little worried. The show wasn't bad, but it is a mishmash of every sci-fi trope that I've grown up with.
I would call it utterly derivative.
Exactly. It is The Matrix meets Fight Club meets Blade Runner, and there's even the touch of Star Wars.
Oh, and some V for Vendetta. Don't forget that.
Dexter. A little touch of Star Wars with You're My Sister?
Oh yeah.
Which I almost, at that point I'd had enough of the fucking pop culture references. This is the TV version of Ernst Klein's Armada. It is
interesting.
Slammed together, and it's a very David Fincher-esque to the point where they even got basically a poor man's Trent Reznor, because he's way too busy doing UI over at Apple right now. Some guy named Matt Quayle, who basically does Trent Reznor-esque soundtracks.
Well, you notice the giant thing at the beginning where it says with anonymous content?
Yeah.
At the beginning, anonymous content is David Fincher's company.
Okay, well, there you go. So that makes a lot of sense why it feels and looks that way and sounds that way. It was okay. And
just to clarify, it's not David Fincher's company himself, but he worked there. I know that he worked at anonymous content at some point.
It's not David Fincher because it's not the right color scheme, but it's using a slightly different color scheme. Beyond derivative. Did I enjoy it? Yes. Was I frustrated by it? Did I think it should be better? Did I think all they were doing were stealing good bits from other shows or books or films? Yes.
Yes. And also they did True Detective 1 and 2.
Yeah. Well, we all know my thoughts on True Detective already, too.
What did you think of True Detective Season 1? I thought you liked it.
Season 1 was okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I had issues with Matthew McConaughey being in it. But
Time is a flat circle.
You know, thousand times better than True Detective 2.
I didn't even bother. But let's get back to Mr. Robot here, because I actually, even though I was so torn the entire time because I loved it and I hated it because I knew what they were doing, but I still loved it. That was the problem I had with it.
See, and I'm still on the fence about if I love it or not, because I felt manipulated. You named a main character Tyrell from Blade Runner. Come on.
I didn't even catch that one. Oh my God, I'm an idiot.
Name Tyrell. It's straight out of Blade Runner. And then the whole You're My Sister thing from Star Wars was that's when I just like, I almost tuned out. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't know if I'm going to watch the second season. I really don't. The acting was decent. Obviously, all the tech aspects of it, I mean, was spot on, and points to them for that. I mean, that was really, really well done. All the hacking sequences, all of that is basically how you would actually really do it. I liked all of that stuff. I felt manipulated, and I felt like all I was doing was playing, like I did when I read Armada, all I was doing was playing the game of where did they get this from?
Yeah, that was kind of a lot of it, and that's what really kind of just turned me off to it. But, oh, man, it's...
You know, it's
I'm just such a huge Christian Slater mark that I just love anything that he's in. And it was fun to see him back on TV and actually being like, you know, a main character. And the twists and turns that they did with his character.
Oh, God. Saw that five episodes out.
I did not. I totally did not see that coming.
Okay.
It really kind of culminated in episode 9 when you find out that he's not actually there. You know,
again,
that was the Fight Club. That was the Fight Club scene, and I was just like, "Oh shit, this kid's actually just crazy."
The main plot: take down the financial sectors, Fight Club. The fact that the actual main character isn't real and is in the other person's head, Fight Club.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's mostly Fight Club.
Yeah,
that's the really annoying part of it, because it's like, I've seen Fight Club. I know Fight Club. Let's not do that again.
There was nothing original about it. Nothing. Absolutely. There wasn't a single original bit. This is like a, you know, early 80s hip hop sampling. There wasn't a real original instrument in this. It was all just bits and pieces from other bits of sci-fi.
Yeah, it was cobbled together. I liked how they did it. Just because I enjoyed it, but I wish I had never seen anything else that it was based on. That was really the problem.
Yes. If I had never been involved in any sci-fi ever throughout my life, I would think this is the most groundbreaking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. The problem is, now we know that it is actually the exact opposite. That's the problem.
So I guess the question is, for season 2, now that they've mined every single bit of influential sci-fi in the world, what are they going to do?
Maybe they'll like move over to Disney and they'll go Frozen.
I'm actually not even sure they can do a season 2. I mean, what are they going to do? The financial system has collapsed. That's why Fight Club ends there. What do you next? So we'll see.
Yeah, at least Fight Club had the Pixies.
Yeah, you know, again, it's well done. It's just beyond derivative.
Yeah, and that's the biggest problem I had. I finished watching the finale this morning, and I was just like, okay, it felt like just a letdown.
We got to talk about that a little bit too, because they delayed the finale because of a scene that was too determined to be, you know, too true to real life, because there had just been all the shootings. But even that scene's been in a ton of movies. There's no lack of movies where somebody has shot themselves on camera. That's happened tons of times in movies, TV shows. So even that wasn't shocking or new.
No, and there's been actual incidences where people have killed themselves on TV. It's not like,
yes.
Yeah, there is a very famous one, and they were very true to that with the way they did the blood splatter out of the nose and all that. You know the exact scene I'm talking about, because they played it at all the goth clubs we used to go to.
Yeah. Wow. A little premonition for the next segment.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, I'm just I don't know. I'm seriously on the fence with this one. I really liked watching it, but I did feel completely manipulated and kind of just was like, what? Oh, dude, come on. I thought they were going to take the ideas farther instead of just rehashing the exact same ideas.
Yeah, but they didn't. That's the problem. And yeah, I didn't not enjoy watching it, but it did start to just become a game for me. Again, like, you didn't even catch the Terrell thing. I basically watched the last 6 episodes by the time I'd cottoned on to the fact that this is just a basically Frankenstein monster of dystopian sci-fi. I just started to play the game of, okay, where's this from? Okay, where's that from? Okay, where's this from?
You know what this actually made me really feel like going back and watching was Utopia.
Yeah.
Because that was original, and it was fun, and it was disturbing. And speaking of David Fincher, he's the one that basically killed that, because he's redoing it for HBO right now.
Yeah. I mean, but again, everything that they cobbled together from was original the first time around. Fight Club was original. Blade Runner was totally original the first time around. But now it's, you know, now it's just been rehashed into a TV show that's getting a shit ton of good press. Man, they got a good PR agency.
I know. But the other thing that really bothered me was their co-opting of the anonymous masks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, they did that as well. So, but that I felt.
But they should have actually done the same masks instead of doing this horrible mustache poofy thing.
Well, you don't want to piss off Anonymous. This is that again, the people
I'm sorry, DC Comics.
The people that are theoretically in Anonymous are the target audience that this has been crafted for.
true that. So, yeah, all in all, it's a ham-handed kind of just rehashing of everything that we've ever seen before.
But
it was well done. That's the.
It was done, and I'm still trying to decide if there's something insulting about it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
Yeah. So we'll. I got to sit with it, and I'm going to be beyond curious to see what they try to do next for season 2, because they're really. There's a reason there was never a Fight Club 2. We'll see.
Actually, there is a Fight Club too. It's Chuck Palahniuk did it in comic form. Just came out.
Never seen it, so I'll have to check. Well, now we know what the plot of season two of Mr. Robot will be.
Okay, so if you guys have watched it and you're still listening to us after we bagged on it and loved it at the same time, send us your thoughts. Go to grumpyoldgeeks.com and click on the contact button and just let us know what you think of it, because it'd be fun to get some more opinions in here, I think.
I agree. I'd love to hear what people think.
Moron of the week.
It's that most wonderful time of the year where in days past, Venice, all the crazy artists in Venice would clear out and drive up to the playa in the Nevada desert in Black Rock City and basically leave us all alone here for about 2 weeks and do their Burning Man thing. Nowadays, basically, they can't afford to go, so they're all here just kind of doing it here, and San Francisco billionaires are emptying out into the Burning Man playa. And
I got to say that it is the best time in San Francisco to go visit when Burning Man's going on, because you can actually park.
Yeah. Well, it used to be the best time here, but now, you know, the artists can't go anymore. And to illustrate the change, I found a link on leadgenius.com called Prospecting on the Playa, 19 Tips to Network and Generate Leads at Burning Man.
I want to know why you were on leadgenius.com.
This actually probably crossed in my Facebook feed because a bunch of my friends are original burners, and I think they're quite pissed off about this as well. So.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a guide to basically, you know, marketing and networking yourselves while you're out at Burning Man, being all counter culture, except you're not
anymore. Yeah. You
know, there's even hashtag everything guides, hashtag Burning Man, hashtag Playa, hashtag Black Rock City to make sure that people know you're there.
There's a TEDx Black Rock City. Okay, that right there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It says TEDx Black Rock City has become too commercial in recent years. It's like, oh, my God.
Wow, this entire article is just it just lets you know it's over. It is so over, people.
Oh, okay. And this is the one that got me. I'm flipping through this. I'm like, this is the douchiest thing I've ever read in my life. And then it got even more douchey.
Yeah.
Steampunk is out. Health goth is in.
I'm not entirely sure what health goth is. I was a goth. I do remember, and this is going to be offensive to some, but this is what we did when we were 14 years old. We did have a term for certain goths that could probably use this. It was BFGs, which is big fat goths. So,
well, this is the actual antithesis of the BFG, because if you go to healthgoth.com, they have a manifesto and a video. So this will be linked in the show notes, and I recommend everybody go check it out because it is chuckle-worthy.
I can't believe this exists. It's very funny. I see that there is music and there's some SoundCloud mixes. So I will check those out and see what the healthy goths are working out to these days, and let you know if that matches with the music I listen to.
Okay. Yeah. This is, oh yeah. Moron of the week just doesn't really kind of do this justice, does it?
Hey Kanye, you got off easy this week.
Closing shout outs.
It's time for Dodger baseball. My closing shout out is to my Los Angeles Dodgers, who basically swept the San Francisco Giants, pretty much ensuring that we will win the division. Screw you, San Fran. And the bigger shout out goes to Vin Scully, the famous broadcaster, one of the last of the original left. And he has signed on to do one more year, which fills my heart with glee.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yes.
How did the Cubs do?
Actually, I think they're doing all right, but I don't pay attention to that division.
Okay. I don't pay attention to baseball, but it's all you on the baseball, man. So my shout out is for Japan. I'm going.
I know. I heard we actually might have to talk about potentially taking a Grumpy Old Geeks hiatus because we are both traveling in the same month.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be there October 19th to the 27th. I'm going to Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka.
That sounds amazing. I am very jealous. So have you made your reservation so you can have a dream of sushi with Hero?
I can't get into that because the impetus for this is my friend Jordan Harbind was over there and he posted a picture of him with Jiro. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. We can't actually go out and have adventures. And I'm like, and I just went up, booked my ticket. I've been getting so many tips from so many people on what to do over there. And I've been introduced to so many new people. My friend Mark Cantor, who you may know, was the guy who wrote Director way back in the day.
Yep.
He introduced me to some crazy people over there, like jazz musicians and artists. So this is an art trip. I'm taking my camera I'm just going to be taking pictures and hanging out with crazy people. I've actually got a call later with friend of the show, Sean Bonner, to talk about where to stay because he's a Japan expert.
Yeah.
And
I've only been to Tokyo, but Sean's going to give you way better recommendations than I could anyway. So,
yeah. And Dr. Teeter is like, you have to go to Osaka because that's where the best food is. I'm like, okay. And everybody says you have to go to Kyoto and see the temples. So I'm going to do it. I'm going there for 7 days by myself. I don't speak Japanese. And I'm just going to go have an adventure and get the hell out of the house because I'm getting a little stir crazy, as you can tell.
Awesome, man. I'm that super happy for you. You're going to have an amazing time. And actually, not speaking Japanese isn't going to be too big of a deal for you. The biggest hurdle that I had was trying to figure out the automated ticket machines to get on the trains. That was rough.
Well, here was the other tip I got. I can buy all my train passes here and save a ton of money. It's crazy. It's $250 for my train the entire time I'm there, unlimited. It's like a URL pass.
Right.
$50 unlimited data SIM card for my phone. It's nuts. It's like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh, and absolutely make sure you get the hot coffee out of the vending machines. The can comes out cold. You open it and the damn thing heats up. It's so awesome.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's no chemicals in that.
Who cares? It was cool as shit.
But also I got to go to the cat cafe.
Oh, of course you do.
Because we're on the internet. I have to take a picture at the cat cafe. Come on.
I agree. You definitely have to. You're heading off to Japan. I am heading off to Europe in October as well. A couple days in London, then going off and traveling around Germany because I haven't been for a very long time and my wife has never been and she wants to see it. And as part of that trip, I'm super excited about this. I will be seeing the World Cup winning German national team play a European championship qualifying game against the country of Georgia. So that'll be awesome. Yeah, so I'm totally looking forward to that. I get to see the entire team that basically won the World Cup play live in Leipzig, Germany, with a gigantic stein of beer in my hand. I'm super excited. Anyways, we both have some really good travel, so we're going to have some offline discussion, I think, and sort out a calendar, and then we'll let you guys know next week probably what we're thinking in terms of our schedule for that month. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, and if you're in any of those places that we're going to be, love to have, or at least for me, I'd love to have a Sapporo or a Kirin and get to meet some people while I'm traveling. Because like I said, I'm going to be by myself over there, just kind of kicking it and having a good time.
Yeah, it's always fun, man. I used to love traveling alone. I kind of miss it. Grass is always greener, Jason.
Yeah, it is. It is. Thanks for listening. I am Jason DeFilippo, and you can check me out at jpd.me.
And I'm Brian Schillmeister, and you can follow me on Twitter at SlenderFungus.
Until next time.
Grumpy Old Geeks is a fan-supported show. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/GOG. We really appreciate your support. If you don't want to or can't donate but still want to support the show, please go to grumpyoldgeeks.com/iTunes and leave us a few words and 5 stars. Or tell a friend about the show. Intro music for the show is provided by the band Among Us. Find them on iTunes, Spotify, and Tidal. Or you can donate through the Grumpy Old Geeks Patreon page at patreon.com/GOG to get 10 exclusive tracks. Outro music for the show is provided by Andy Stachansky. Follow Andy at twitter.com/houseofandy, and he's also on SoundCloud at grumpyoldgeeks.com/andy. Show notes for all the links discussed in this episode can be found at grumpyoldgeeks.com/126.